This is Hope Radio on Moose FM, a non-denominational Christian celebration of life in song, spirit, and word. Here's Tim Rout.
Welcome to Hope Radio, where we look deeply into the Bible for God's solutions to our many problems. This week, we're going to be tackling anxiety. What do the scriptures say about anxiety and how to overcome it? For many people, anxiety can pose a massive hurdle, but nothing poses a problem for God. He is sovereign over everything. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for granting us this time of worship. We carry many burdens, and we hand them over to you now. Minister to our hearts as only you can, and open your Bible so that we may fully understand what you have revealed there. May all of this glorify you, and may we be blessed. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's Big Daddy Weave kicking us off. You found me on Hope Radio.
Most of them, but that was back long before the day when I saw a flash of light and I heard the sound of a voice like thunder shake the ground. It was the first time I remember ever feeling my heart beat, and the arms within me felt like grace, and I realized in their embrace could be held so tight I've never felt so free. Also known as the day that you found me. Since the day you came, the way I see the things I want, it's everything. Some may call it strange, I don't care what people say, I knew you were the only way. When I saw a flash of light and I heard the sound of a voice like thunder shake the ground, it was the first time I remember ever feeling my heart beat, and the arms that gripped me felt like grace, and I realized in their embrace could be held so tight I've never felt so. Also known as the day that you found me. I've never known a love like this. You captured my heart and you brought the sweetest peace to my life. Brought me into the light. Well, now I'm all yours, Jesus. Draw me into you. I don't think that I could ever be the same. Well, who would want to be anyway? When I saw a flash of light and I heard the sound of a voice like thunder shake the ground, it was the first time I remember ever feeling my heart beat, and the arms that gripped me felt like grace, and I realized in their embrace to be held so tight I've never felt so free. Well, I saw a flash of light and I heard the sound of a voice like thunder shake the ground, it was the first time I remember ever feeling my heart beat, and the arms that gripped me felt like grace, and I realized to be held so tight, I've never felt so free. Also known as the day that you found me. The day that you found me. Oh, when you found me, called me by name.
Radio with Tim Rout, opening hearts and minds to faith and joy on Moose FM.
Welcome to Hope Radio. Today we're going to be talking about what the Bible says about a subject almost all of us have encountered at one time or another. Anxiety. If you're anything like me, then anxiety has been your frequent companion. Anxiety, as defined and described in Scripture, is the fear of failure. I can't speak for you, of course, but I've often wondered if perhaps I might qualify as the world's biggest worry wart. It seems like nearly everything has the potential to stress me out, and very few things are able to relieve that stress for long. It might surprise you to know that the Bible has a lot to say about anxiety, and every bit of it is helpful, although some of it can be a little hard to take. So if you, like me, find yourself burdened with a weight you can't always carry, listen up. This is for you. We're in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew today, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Before we begin, let me encourage you to have your Bible handy and read along. If you don't have a Bible, there are many good English translations available. You could order one online or perhaps contact a local church and they can help you out. Today I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Jesus is teaching his followers about the kingdom of heaven and what it means to be one of his disciples. Every born-again Christian is a disciple of Christ. If you're not sure what born-again means, go to this station's website, click on the Hope Radio icon, and take a look at episode number 2. Suffice it to say, Christians experience anxiety. In fact, it's a very rare Christian who doesn't experience some anxiety, at least sometimes. Things that cause us to worry are going to happen. But part of the good news about Jesus is that those who are in him, those who belong to him by faith, don't have to live in their anxieties endlessly. God offers relief, and that's part of what the Lord Jesus was teaching his followers in this text, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I can tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Verse 25 starts with, therefore I tell you. Whenever you see therefore in a text, you should always ask what it's there for. Jesus is drawing a conclusion based on what comes earlier in the passage. He's talked about giving to the needy. He taught his disciples how to pray, the manner in which Christians should fast. And then Jesus told them to lay up for themselves treasures in heaven. Christians are not to love this world or the things of this world. We cannot serve two masters. That is both God and material wealth. Those who pretend to do so are lying to themselves and others. To be clear, there's nothing wrong with money. Money is a good thing. It is a gift from God, and it is necessary, in most cases, for human life and flourishing. But the love of money, that's the root of all kinds of evil. Material wealth must never be your master. Whether we're talking about cash or property or prestige or power, if you're a Christian, then Jesus is your master. You cannot serve two masters. Therefore, because you cannot serve two masters, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Why? Because Jesus is your master and he never fails. He provides abundantly for all of His adopted children. Let's be clear, this passage is filled with some wonderful promises from God who always keeps His word. But these promises are for those who have chosen to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge Him as Master. Our anxieties are ultimately a product of worldliness. We worry about stuff, about people, about the future, about our health, about 100 other things that Jesus has complete control over. So when the Christian starts feeling anxious, he needs to recognize it for what it is. If I feel like I'm about to fail, that anxiety may well be rooted in a subtle form of idolatry. Now, swallow hard. This might seem a bit harsh. If a person worships anything or anyone in place of God, that's idolatry. And if God says the multifaceted details of my future are in His hands and under His authority, then I'd better be careful not to presume that I, and not God, am responsible for the future. Now, that's not to say your choices don't matter or that your actions don't have consequences. They most certainly do. But over and against all of that, God is sovereign. He is ultimately in control. The biblical doctrine of wills goes something like this. God has a will. You have a will. When your will comes into conflict with God's will, God wins. While it's true that our actions and decisions can influence some things in some measure, it is only because our sovereign Creator God allows it to be so. Again, Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Despite the cliches of many a dietitian, you are not what you eat. You're a good deal more than that, and your body is worth far more than the clothes you put on it. Here in the West, there are very few people who have absolutely nothing. Around the world, there are millions of examples of those who possess nearly nothing at all. They live in abject poverty, but those of them that know the Lord Jesus savingly have access by faith to supernatural resources from God. Often God's provision of basic material needs comes through ordinary means, like, for example, the generosity of other Christians who have more than they need and are able to share. In fact, the Bible counsels Christians to set aside part of their income in order to have something with which to help others in need. Believers can find themselves buried in anxiety nonetheless when they either don't trust God to keep His provisional promises or don't trust that God's provision is enough. Let's be clear, the Lord has nowhere promised that Amy and I will be able to keep our house, or maintain a new car, or any car for that matter, or enjoy our preferred lifestyle. Look at what the text says. Something to eat, something to drink, something to wear. The basics. If my heart is secretly in love with my stuff and God says, "All right, kid, that stuff's got to go," I'm about to experience a motherload of anxiety. But if my attitude towards stuff is biblical, if I think of it the way Jesus does, then who cares if it all goes poof? It all belongs to God anyway, right? Now let's get real. When you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you gave yourself to Him. You are His property now. You don't belong to yourself. You were bought at a price, right? To be clear, God gives good gifts to His children, and He rarely requires them to live in genuine poverty. By and large, I don't think we in Canada know what poverty means. But God will remove from your life anything, anything that holds you back from growing in His grace. He will provide what the Christian needs and take away what he deems to be problematic. And this combination of provision and retraction is unique to every believer's experience. I was saved at the age of 20, and as a professional musician, I loved music, and I loved my saxophone. It was my treasure. But now, in Christ, Jesus is to be my treasure. So, through a series of providential actions, God taught me how to treasure Him and his kingdom and his righteousness and not music. He took me out of the music business, not by my choice. And over a period of years, he taught me to honor him with everything, including my music, all for his glory. Yes? And then he let me start playing again, but now for him. So, if you have recently become a follower of Christ, let me both encourage and caution you. There are some wonderful days ahead, wherein the Lord will shape and mold you according to his word. Sometimes your experience of sanctification will be glorious and thrilling and beyond all description. And sometimes it will be painful and maybe mournful as your loving Heavenly Father surgically peels you away from this world and your former affections. Remember, there's no such thing as a half-Christian. If you belong to Jesus, if you've been genuinely justified by faith, then God will change you. And you need to trust him to know what he's doing. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? God created birds. God created you. And just in case you're repenting of animal activism, humans are worth more than animals. If God takes care of birds, even though they're worth very little, how much more will he take care of those he has redeemed in his Son? Verse 27, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his lifespan? There's a rhetorical question if ever there was one. Worry cannot lengthen your life. It can shorten it, to be sure. But you can't add a single hour by worrying. The Bible says that every day given to a person was determined by God before even one day took place. Before you breathed your first breath, God had already recorded in his book exactly how many days of life he has given you. From our perspective, death can seem so incredibly random. But from God's perspective, nobody ever dies early. God is the only life giver. And no matter the means by which God chooses to bring a person's life to an end, it is ultimately he and he alone who determines lifespan. Verses 28 and 29. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Look, don't get hung up on style and fashion. If you have clothing to cover your body and it serves its basic practical function, well, then thank Jesus and get on with it. That's not to suggest there's something wrong with dressing up or wearing beautiful garments if you can afford them. Remember Solomon and his splendor? The man had a serious wardrobe. But if you're worried about the wardrobe, if you fret over your looks, now we got a problem. Because, among other things, it reveals the sin of pride in your heart. Verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You notice how much Jesus likes asking rhetorical questions. To the born-again person, it's obvious, or it ought to be, that God can be trusted to provide for our needs as he defines them. And this is where we run into one of those pieces of God's biblical truth that can sting a bit. At least it did for me the first time I heard it. If you struggle with anxiety like I do, it seems the last thing you need is for someone to inform you that anxiety is a sin. Because anxiety, even over important things like food and clothing, demonstrates the sin of not trusting God. Hence, O ye of little faith. The first time someone showed me this in the Bible, and I came to realize that my anxiety was sin, I immediately started feeling more anxious. And if that's you, please bear with me. It's important that we get through this. We have to see ourselves the way God does. I am what the Bible says I am. So if God calls my anxiety an expression of faithlessness toward him, then it's sin, and that means I need to repent. Verses 31 and 32, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Just to nail this down, Jesus commands us to be anxious for nothing. It's not an option. It's a commandment. The Lord was addressing mainly Jews during this sermon, so here Gentile is a reference not merely to non-Jews, but to non-believers. All the first Christians were Jewish. The Gentiles go nuts seeking after all the material means by which humans survive and flourish. And our Heavenly Father knows full well exactly what we need, when we need it, and in what measure. For the Christian, there's nothing to worry about. God's got this. He's got it whether you're sick or well. He's got it whether you're working or unemployed. He's got it under control whether you can keep the house or lose it, whether you have a car or don't, whether your family loves you or hates you, whether the world calls you a success or a loser. If you're in Christ, God has this under control. He's got you. Live or die. Then verse 33, and let's just be clear how this flows from the previous context. Don't be anxious, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's make sure we're breaking this down succinctly. First, you need to be saved. A saved person repents of his sins and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that you? Then secondly, you need to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. It's your highest priority. That's not just about going to heaven. It's about living for the Lord right now, pursuing everything he calls good and right and holy, repenting of everything he calls sin. If a saved person makes the kingdom of God his highest priority and seeks diligently after what God calls right, then all these material provisions, all these things we are prone to worry over, will be given to us. It's a very simple, very old, very consistent biblical principle. For the saved person, obedience brings blessing. You can't obey your way into the kingdom. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And you don't keep you in the kingdom. Jesus does. But as a thank you to him, as a demonstration that you have newness of life in him, because you are saved, obey. And as you obey God's Bible, blessing will follow. And by that same token, disobedience brings spankings. God is your loving Heavenly Father. He disciplines his children by bringing hardships into their lives. And if you want to read more about that, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Then lastly, verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Or, if you like, each day has enough trouble of its own. Ain't that the truth? If anxiety is weighing you down, God doesn't want you to remain buried in the fear of failure. He wants you to turn away from your anxiety, like it was ever your friend anyway, and trust him. If you have never repented of your sins and believed savingly on the Lord Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do so right now. If you're not sure what that means, visit the Hope Radio Library and find Episode 2, Being Changed by Jesus. And if you know the Lord but are still struggling with anxiety, a couple things to keep in mind. Firstly, we need to admit to God that we're not fully trusting him. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we need to pray. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Our gracious Heavenly Father, your word commands us to cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. Father, we cannot let go of our anxieties without your help. Sometimes it feels like anxiety owns me, but you own me and everyone who belongs to your Son. Grant us to lean on you and trust you fully and rest in your overwhelming, supernatural, immeasurable peace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While it's true that we often play contemporary Christian music on this program, we also like to roll back the clock with a contemporary version of a very old song. See if you can pick this one out. Casting Crowns, Joyful, Joyful on Hope Radio.
Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before you, opening to the sun above. Sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Joyful, joyful, we adore you. Hearts unfold like flowers before you. Joyful, joyful.
Tim Rout has served as a Christian pastor for more than 20 years. Listen every Sunday at 10 a.m. for more Hope Radio, a celebration of life in song, spirit, and word on Moose FM.